Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Be seated. What a beautiful thing to say and to sing this morning. It is well with my soul. I have been so encouraged and so blessed already this morning with what has been said and what has been sung and with the spirit that is in the room. And I'm so thankful to the Lord Jesus for everything that he has done for us. And one of the things that he has done for us is to bring us peace. What Jeremy read from Romans, we have peace in Jesus Christ. God has given us peace, and it is well with our souls, even in 2020. There's a lot of memes that have been going around, and I just picked a few of them to express the sentiment that folks feel about this grand year, 2020. Do we have any of those on the screen? 2020 is a unique leap year. It has 29 days in February, 300 days in March, and 5 years in April. Anybody relate to that? How about the next one? If 2020 was a drink, what would it be? A colonoscopy prep. This one, you'll have to be of a certain age to have remembered the Twilight Zone. Historians in 2070 introducing a documentary about 2020. What you're about to watch is a nightmare. Check on your conspiracy theory friends. They haven't had a day off in weeks. News anchors every day since January 2020. Tonight at 11, doom. That one sums it up, I think, in so many ways. But the next one just gives me, I can't even hardly look at the next one. Go ahead. Just hurts to look at it, doesn't it? All of that is an expression of what you are probably feeling about the year 2020. And that last one really does just sum it up for me. If every single day you hear about something that has gone wrong, hear about something that couldn't be worse, something else that has never happened before but is about to happen, it's just a year of doom and gloom. And it's hard not to stress out in this year. It's hard. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter how strong your faith, it is hard to deal with this year and remain in the peace of Jesus Christ. But it's what he has called us to, folks. It is a blessing that he has given us peace. Would you just take a deep breath right now and breathe in peace? Let that back out. Some of you were still holding it. Peace is what Jesus offers. We live in peace when we live in him. In chapter 4 of Philippians, Paul writes to a church who was living in a difficult time, who had found the peace of Jesus Christ when they were united with him. But in that setting and to those folks, God spoke a word to help them remain in that peace. And there is a guarantee in this word from God. There is a promise. How does this promise sound to you? If you do these things, and we're going to talk about those things, if you do these things, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Some of you have learned that in the translation that says, a peace that passes understanding. His peace will keep your thoughts quiet and your heart at rest as you trust in Jesus. His peace will give you quiet thoughts when there's so much noise, so much yelling, so much chaos, so much to drown out the quietness of the peace of Jesus, his voice will give you quiet thoughts. His peace will give you a heart that is at rest. That's his invitation, is to come to him. All who are burdened and weary, he'll give you rest. This is the peace of Jesus. And it's a peace that passes understanding. And when there is no logical reason to be at peace, we have peace in Jesus. And when the world around us is in chaos and there is no reason to be at peace, we have peace in Jesus. That is God's promise to us. And I have experienced, and I know you have too, that God's promises are true. Amen? He gives us peace. So there's a promise in this verse, but there's also a premise in this verse. Because the reality is, he has given us peace in Jesus Christ. The other reality is, the enemy, he has come to steal and kill and destroy and rob. And one of the things that he robs us of is our peace. The world around us that is so much under his influence robs us of our peace. And so we have this promise of peace in Christ, but there's also a premise, because there's some things we've got to do to remain in that peace. That's what Jesus said to his apostles, to all his disciples and all his followers, is remain in me. And so we've got to do some things to remain in Christ and remain in his peace. And so I just want us to look at some steps on this path to peace that we find here in Philippians. We're going to look at two of them today, and we're going to look at three of them next week. They're very practical, not necessarily easy, but worth the effort of walking in this path of peace. And so the first one is, and if you have an outline and you want to follow along and fill that out, the first one is, refuse to worry about anything. If you want to remain in the peace of Jesus Christ, if you want to experience the promise of peace that we have in Jesus, one of the things you've got to consciously do as you walk through this world is to walk in peace, is to not worry, refuse to worry about anything. And I want to just remind you this morning of some things you already know, but some things that might be helpful to remind us of how futile worry is. Some practical reasons that we should never worry, that we should refuse to worry about anything. First of all, worry is very unhealthy. Worry is unhealthy. People say they are sick with worry, and they're telling the absolute truth, because worry makes you sick. Worry weighs you down. Worry takes its toll on your body and on your health. The very word worry comes from a word that means to choke or strangle. And worry will literally choke the life out of you. But the peace of God will bring life to you. Proverbs 14 and 30. But a heart at peace gives life to the body. See, what God does in your heart and in your mind affects your body, and it gives you peace and it gives you life. And so worry chokes out the life, but God's peace gives you life. So worry is unhealthy. That's one of the reasons we should refuse to worry about anything, is that it's just unhealthy for us. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, which is such a practical teaching, things that we need to obey and put into practice to receive the blessings, Jesus talks about worry. And he gives us several more reasons that we should never worry about anything. Another reason is, worry is unreasonable. It's just unreasonable to worry about things. Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat or drink. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? See, worry is just unreasonable. Here's why. Because what worry does is exaggerate the problem. That's what worry does. It exaggerates the problem. Worry focuses you in on the issue or the problem. Worry makes it look much, much bigger than it really is. And the more you examine it, and the more you stare at it, and the more you focus on it, the bigger it becomes, which just creates more worry. And so it's just unreasonable to worry, Jesus says. It's also unnatural. In Matthew chapter 6 again, look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why worry about clothes? Look at the field lilies. They don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon in all his glory was never clothed as beautifully as they. See, worry is unnatural. Did you know that human beings are the only part of creation that worries? There's nothing else that's ever been created that worries. Animals don't worry. Plants don't worry. Stars don't worry. We're the only ones who worry. It's unnatural. We weren't created for it. We learned it. And we've practiced it a lot. And we've gotten really good at it. So we've got to unlearn it. We've got to refuse to worry. It's unnatural. Another thing Jesus says is it's really just unhelpful. It's unhelpful. Worry cannot make you 1 inch taller. Worry cannot make you 10 pounds lighter. Worry cannot make any of your features prettier. Worry cannot keep something from happening that is going to happen. And worry just keeps you focused on something that you think is going to happen that never happens. And so it's just unhelpful. And then Jesus also says that it's unnecessary. If God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't He more surely care for you? And then Jesus says something that He says very often, and I think it depends on your heart and your place with Him, is how you hear Jesus say it. But He says, oh, you of little faith. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much. He loves you extravagantly. He loves to take care of you. And He will take care of you. And so worry is unnecessary. And so, as we live in the year 2020, as we follow Jesus Christ, as we long for the peace that He has promised us, one of the things that we just have to do is just refuse to worry about anything. Refuse to worry about anything. It's unreasonable, it's unnatural, it's unhealthy, it's unhelpful, it's unnecessary. And so those are things we've got to do. Those are steps we've got to take. But whenever we're going to put something out of our lives, there's a parable that Jesus teaches that says you better fill it with something else. Or something worse is just going to come in. So if we're going to refuse to worry, and we're going to put worry out of our lives, and we're going to consciously decide, you know what, I'm not going to worry about this, then what are we going to replace it with? Well, God gives us an answer to that in Philippians, at the end of the verse, into verse 6. Never worry about anything, He says. Instead, in every situation, let God know what you need in your prayers and request. So, if you refuse to worry about anything, then number 2, talk to God about everything. Talk to God about everything. Don't panic, pray. That's a little phrase that I heard that I've tried to remember. Don't panic, pray. If I feel myself panicking, if I feel my blood pressure rising, if I feel my breathing getting labored, if I feel myself sighing, that's something I recognize that I do. That I sigh, and when I realize that I'm sighing, I realize I'm really worried about something. I have to stop. Don't panic. Pray. Don't worry. Worship. Stop talking to yourself. That's what I do. I do lots of self-talk. And all that is worry. Start doing more talking to God, because that is prayer. And if I prayed as much as I worried, then I'd have a lot less worrying to do. Do you remember when you were a kid and you needed something? It doesn't matter what it is. I need a glass of water. I need a cookie. I need a a new eraser for my pencil. I need a piece of paper. I need some new shoes. I mean, you can go through it. When you were a kid and you needed something, what did you do? You went to your mama or your daddy and you said, I need a piece of paper. I need $10 for my trip. I need some new shoes. I need a glass of water. That's what you did. You didn't fret over it. You didn't have anxiety over it. You didn't worry about it. You just went and you asked the person who could provide it. And they did. And here's another thing I bet you never did. I bet you never once as a kid stopped and wondered, I wonder how they got that. I wonder where that came from. I wonder, where does their money come from? Now, you knew it didn't grow on trees because your dad had told you that. But that's just not anything you probably ever stopped and wondered about, because it wasn't your job to wonder about that. That was their job. What was your job? To ask. And we have a Heavenly Father who is good. And who loves us. And who tells us over and over and over and over, just ask. Just ask. And so when we worry after we ask, we are really practicing practical atheism. Because we're doubting either that he is there or that he can do anything. And so, worry less and ask more. If you're going to refuse to worry and you're going to get that out of your life, then one of the things you got to fill your life with is just ask God more. Pray more. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you do not have, and he's talking to Christians, he's talking to folks just like you and me, and he's saying, you know why you don't have? You don't ask. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. And you might be one of these folks who says, well, that's just a little thing. I hate to bother God about that. Or maybe it's something that's just so routine in your life, you never even think to ask God about that. But I want to remind you that there is nothing in your life that is small to God. There's nothing in your life that's minor to God. Landon did such a beautiful job in his prayer of reminding us of the truth of what God did for us through Jesus Christ. The greatest need that you and I will ever have has been taken care of by our Father through his Son. And if he wouldn't withhold Jesus from us, and what in the world would he withhold? Since God did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all, won't he who gave us Christ also give us everything we need? Romans 8, verse 32. Our biggest problem, forgiveness, being right with God, being with him eternally, he's taken care of that. And he didn't withhold anything. And so we have some confidence to ask. We have confidence to ask. I remember a conversation with a friend of mine who owns his own business, and he was talking about a decision that he was making, and he said, well, I'm going to pray about that before I decide. And then he kind of stopped and he said, Ken, you don't realize how big a deal that is for me, because it never dawned on me before recently that I could pray to God about my business. I can ask him for help with anything, because there's nothing that you can't talk to your Father about. And he loves you enough to help you with everything in your life. So worry about nothing and pray about everything. And the verse goes on to give us just some really practical advice on prayer. Just bring your petitions to God. That's the extent of it. Just bring your petitions to God. There's no magic formula. There's no incantation. There's no rite that you have to perform. There's no person that you have to go through. You just tell your Father what you need. Back on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus did some teaching on that. And he said, you don't have to make your prayers all wordy. You don't have to make them sound religious. You don't have to keep saying them over and over and over and over and over. Repeating it for emphasis, babbling on. Jesus just said, you know what? Just find a quiet, private place and just talk to God about what you need. So refuse to worry about everything or about anything. Talk to God about everything. Those are two steps that you and I can take this week to reduce the worry and the anxiety that's in our life and to experience the peace of God through Jesus Christ that is promised to us, that allows us to walk through this world differently than folks who don't have that peace. That allows us to take our eyes off the problem that everybody's yelling about and that our fear is drawing us to, and put our eyes back on the one who is the creator of all, under whom everything is in submission to him. The one who gives us peace and the one who loves us. Don't refuse this week to worry about anything and pray about everything. I am horrible at dancing. I've never understood the two-step. But I can get this two-step. And so let's dance it this week.